Good morning, good morning. We are so excited today. We are in our second installment of Discover You. And if you're a guest for the first time, you may have received one of our flyers that went out in the mail. And I want to just tell you that today is going to be a good day for you because we want to walk the word and discover how you can discover you. And so to begin with, I want to just kind of set the tone and give you what we want you to walk away with today. Would you write this down? This is our takeaway for today. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. Look at your neighbor and say, you look good. No, 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 no. You got to say it like I did. You look good. You are God's masterpiece, beautifully and wonderfully made. God, marvelous all thy works, O Lord, is what David said in the Psalms. But it's important that today's question isn't that simply that I'm God's masterpiece, but we're asking the very first question that I had when I sent out that flyer to the city. The question is this: who am I? Who am I? You know, it's important to know who you are, and it's not just what your name is. It's not just who your parents are. Who are you? Who is the essence that makes you you? Who are you? And here's one of the things we want to discover that, and there's a reason for that, because if we don't know who we are, somebody said this to me back in college, if I don't stand for something, I'll fall for anything. Amen. We need to know who we are. And I know in my life, if you don't know who you are, you'll probably follow anybody and do anything. Because you're trying to figure out who you are. So many young people are trying to figure out who they are today. They try to follow the culture, the trends. Many of us try to keep up with the Joneses and all the Kardashians and try to keep up with everybody. But because we're trying to discover, who am I? You know, we're still looking for that ultimate answer, that question that is on everybody's heart. And if we don't find out who we are and we don't find out that clear answer, we'll find ourselves wavering in our ways. And I learned one thing. You know, listen, if we don't know who we are, we will basically accept just about anything in our life. But how many know that there comes a point where things got to change? Anybody ready for change in your life? Amen. Amen. That's why we have the thing in the hallways for change for missions. Amen. You put some in there. All right. No, seriously, though, we all got to get to a point where we say, you know, enough. Y'all reading my notes? You know, one time I tell you what happened to let you know there's a time in your life where you got to say enough is enough. And I'm trying to be nice to everybody. I'm one of those guys that, you know, sometimes it's so nice that I'm nice to my own hurt. And you haven't met anybody like that? Yeah. Any of you like that? Yeah. And I'm like that, you know, so if someone makes, you know, a bad pot of spaghetti, you know, I smile and I drop it accidentally. No, I'm just playing. I try to make people happy. And there are times when you're put in situations where you just can't make everybody happy. You got to say, enough is enough. That happened to me one time when I went to Jacksonville. Anybody in here from Jacksonville, Florida? Anybody? Nobody from Jacksonville? Anybody from Florida? Anybody from Florida? Okay, praise the Lord. Thought I woke up and came to the wrong church. One time when I was in college, I was invited with a friend of mine. He said, hey, Steve, why don't you come home with me to the weekend? It's Thanksgiving weekend. You got any place to go? I said, no, I don't have any place to go. And he goes, why don't you come on with me? I said, okay, you know, I'm thinking this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to go and eat with a friend of mine. He's a real good guy from college. We're buddies. And so we drive all the way to Jacksonville. I'm in my car. I got my gas. I'm dropping him off. And we get to Jacksonville. And I remember, you know, I'm standing outside the house. And beautiful house. And the mom comes to the door, opens up the door. You know how you can smell food outside the house. Anybody had like a grandma that smelled like food all the time? Anybody had? I walk up to the door. They open the door. And I'm like, ooh, I smell food in here. This is going to be good Thanksgiving. And I come in, and I got a glimpse. There's a big old turkey sitting on the countertop. I'm like, boy, it's on, baby. It's on. I walk in the door, and I see the turkey, and I see a cat cross the countertop. step on a turkey and cross to the other side. Now, you know, I got my bags in my hand. I'm stuck. So I come in the house. I decide, okay, I'm just going to put my bags down. And they say, oh, yeah, your room is the first room on your left. So I go, and I'm just thinking, man, was that cat on the counter with the turkey? Is that a real turkey? Or is that a fake turkey? So I go in the room, and I went to hit the knob, and I heard, I'm like, what is that? And I open the door, and a little chihuahua runs out. And I go in, and I realize that the guest bed is his bed. And he's got fleas. So, you know, I walk in the room, and I'm wearing white pants. I look down, I'm wearing black pants. I put my bags down. I'm like, oh, my God. I said, oh, and I'm thinking fleas on my pants, cat crossing the counter. I'm like, I don't know what is in store. So they say it's dinner time. You came right on time. I sit down at the dinner table. I got me a glass of water. And they said, okay, you ready to eat, Steve? And they bring that same turkey and put it right there on the table. And on the table was, you know, they had giblets and how many know what giblets are? I don't even know what that thing is. Giblets and cranberry sauce and potatoes and everything. And the lady said, Steve, would you like some mashed potatoes? I said, yes, ma'am. And she lifted up the mashed potatoes and about 12 roaches ran across the table. You got any gravy? And so, you know, now keep in mind, guys, there has to be a time in your life when you say, enough. Well, I'm sitting at the table, and, you know, I'm trying to remember those Bible verses. Eat whatever's set before you. You know, don't offend. I'm like, oh, God, I got to eat this stuff. And so they put on my table, and they pick up the butter, and 12 roaches run that way. And they pick up the, and I guess, can I have, no, I don't need butter. Can I have a biscuit? Pick up the biscuit. The roach is like, hey. So I start to eat, and I'm like, just close your eyes. And I put the food in my mouth, and something crunched, and it shouldn't crunch, in mashed potatoes. And I thought there was hair on my lip, and it was an antenna. It gets better. See, if you don't know who you are, you'll settle for anything. My mama taught me better than that. When, you know, dinner was over, I said, you know what? I'm not very hungry anymore. They said, good, we're going to go watch a movie. It's Thanksgiving. We're going to sit down and watch a movie. Well, he had a little sister. I don't know what her issue was, but she always screamed. Don't know why. Just out of blue, just, wah! So, you know, we're watching a movie, lights are out, and you hear, wah! And, you know, by this time, I'm just nervous, you know, I'm just, and so they say, Steve, you can sit on the couch. And so I sit down on the couch, and I got the couch to myself, and a chihuahua jumps on, and the cat jumps on that side, meow, and I'm like, and I hear, wah! And I'm watching a movie, and you know that time, you know, when you go in your mind and go, I need to leave. Okay, on the count of 10, I'm going to get up and walk away. On the count of 10. Okay, on the count of 20. On the count of 20. And we're watching a movie, and I'm sitting there, and I'll never forget what happened next. Everybody say, pray for Pastor Steve. Mm-mm. Stretch your hands this way. And so I'm sitting on the little love seat with little chihuahua. And a little cat and my pants with all the friendly fleas and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, I gotta get up and I gotta go. I can't take this much more. I can't tell you. I'm sitting there and something catches the corner of my eye. And I look and on the wall is the biggest roach I've ever seen. License plate on it. For the state of Florida. In God we trust. And I caught it. I don't know if it saw me, but it was on the wall. And it went brrr, on the wall. And you know that moment where you like, don't move. The thing went brrr. Now, this is that moment in life where, you know, you go, ah! And nobody, but you're not really saying nothing. Your whole body has like a hot flash. Ah! And it just, ah! And I just went, And the roach is sitting there, hey. And I just simply got up with the roach on my chest. Went to the room, kicked the dog, picked my bags. Walked through the living room with all the lights out. They said, Steve, where you going? I said, I'm going home. There comes a time in your life when enough. If you don't know who you are, ladies and gentlemen, you will settle for anything. Look at your name and go like this. You have to know yourself. And if I had known myself and had self-pride, I would have got up and left a long time. I wouldn't have had to have Mr. Roach on my chest. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. This is why, you know, you must know who you are. And the way you discover who you are is by understanding that you have a purpose in life. And I want you to write this down. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Please write that down. Without purpose, life has no meaning. We ask these questions of why am I here and why am I the way that I am and how can I know my purpose? And the problem with the generation that we're in now is that when a generation loses its sense of purpose, then all life becomes meaningless, yours and others. And you know, Miles Monroe was a great speaker about purpose. And he shows that the value of life lessens when people stop asking the question of purpose, when they lose sight that they were born on purpose. He put it this way, when we lose sight that we are important and we have a purpose, we do this. We preserve nature, but we kill our infants. When we lose purpose, we build solid houses, but we cannot construct lasting homes. We can live longer, but we enjoy life less. We conquer space, but not our own habits. We protect the whales, and we abuse our own children. We go to the moon, but we wander far from home. We flirt with fantasy, and then we avoid reality. When a person doesn't know their purpose, then they try and settle for anything. And many people, when they start talking about purpose, they settle for things that are vague. Vague goals like this. I just want to be happy. Anybody ever heard that one before? Point to the person you heard it from. Let me see who it is, you know. No. This whole row pointed that way. That was awesome. I just want to be happy. And another person might say simply, I want to make the world a better place to live. Vague. Or they may say, I just want to be rich. Ladies and gentlemen, all those things are nearly useless until purpose is discovered. Existence has no meaning. Now, my question is this, that when we're trying to find purpose, for many of us, it's frustrating. It becomes difficult to find purpose in our lives. And King Solomon, one of the wisest men on the planet, had the same issue. He found it was frustrating. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I want us to read how he felt about this journey of trying to discover a purpose without meaning. Watch this. These are the words of the teacher. They called him a teacher. King David's son who ruled in Jerusalem. Verse 2. Here's what he said. Wise man on the planet. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. Yes, he was not a motivational speaker. He felt like, man, because Solomon, many people don't know, he tried everything he was big and bad enough to do. He tried to find happiness in women and money and things and palaces. He tried everything in the world and couldn't find it. And at the end of his story, he said, you know what? Everything is meaningless. But then at the end of the chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, he said this in conclusion. Verse 13, I want you to read it for me, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. That's chapter 12, verse 13. That's right. 12. Amen. 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 Should I read it? Can I just read it? You got it? You got it? You got it? No, no, no. Okay, here we go. I'll read it for you. It says this. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. To understand who you are, it starts with God. And when he says it's everyone's duty, that means you and I have a personal responsibility to seek after who is God? Who am I in God? What is my role? What am I here for? To truly discover purpose, we must understand first what purpose is. I want you to write this down. This is life-changing. Write this down, please. This is the definition of purpose. Get ready. Write this down. Purpose is the original intent in the mind of the creator that motivated him to create a particular item. Write that down. The original intent in the mind of the creator that motivated him to create a particular item. Purpose explains why things exist. Purpose is the foundation for you. There's a reason you exist in this world. Everything, when you drive down the road and you look around, is a product of purpose. Everything you see, the buildings, the stores, the road, the lines in the road, everything is a product of purpose. Before any product is made, there is first a purpose established in the mind of the manufacturer. And he makes the design in his head. He figures what needs to be made. And then he produces it to fulfill a purpose. He sees a need and he makes it. He gets it in his head what he wants done. And then he creates it so that it could finish the purpose he had in his heart. This is a very important point. Write this down. Purpose precedes production. Purpose precedes production. You're not here on accident. There is nothing created until there's a purpose for it. Someone wanted to get their voice heard. They said, you know what? We need something created that can project my voice. And so someone came up with a microphone. But it started where? Here. And then it was created to fulfill its purpose. Let me give you another example. It was created in its purpose. I'm going to tell you something. The object can never find fulfillment until it fulfills its purpose. It can't, unless it does what it was designed to do, it can never find fulfillment. Very important to know. For instance, the stop sign. Someone decided, you know what? There's a lot of accidents that happen in the world, and they happen at intersections, and cars are coming. Back in the days when they had horses, you could slow down. But now they got cars and they're going through the intersection. We need something to kind of stop and save lives. We need something to preserve life. So here's what we'll do. I think if we put something on the corner of the road with a message that says stop, we could save somebody's life. It started in the mind of the Creator. And once he knew what he wanted it to look like, he began to go to production. He figured out what he wanted the color to be, what he wanted the stripes to look like, what it should stand on, and where it should go. And then he produced it in the earth. That's the first stage of production. It's called conception. Write that down. The first stage of production is conception. First stage of production. It has to be in the mind first. Now, let me show you the second stage of production is this. Design. Write that down. The second stage of production is design. See, he had an intent of stopping people at intersections so they don't crash and burn. That was the predetermined purpose for the stop sign. It had a design. And not only that, but there were developments that were made to fulfill the desired purpose. He had to have the function in the sign itself. But here's what I love. Third stage of production is called creation. Conception, design, and then creation. Now, this is very important because to understand who you are, you got to understand a stop sign. Because let me tell you something. When creation happened, when all the drawings, specifications, the designs were completed, the materials were procured, then production can be made. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that you understand this. It is essential to note that a product cannot be into production until the purpose for the product has been established. In other words, God can never put you into production until he knows what you're here for. I need you to understand that you were in the mind of God. He conceptualized you. Nobody here is an accident. He said, I have a problem in the earth. I need a certain kind of person to fix it. And so he said, I see you. I'm going to create you. And then he puts all your pieces together, your attitude, your swagger, your the way you look, the way you talk, your gifting, your who you are, everything about you. And he makes you into production. And he has a mother and a father come together. And they give birth to the idea. Let me tell you something. The success of a project is not determined until the product does exactly what it was designed to do. You know how I know the stop sign works? Because people stop. Who are you? Who are you? When you answer the question, who am I, the question then becomes, am I working in what I was designed to do? Am I the person that God saw that I was to be? Am I creating the effect I'm supposed to have? Or am I just trying to survive? Am I just trying to get through life and just get along? Am I just trying to be rich, be successful? Am I just trying to, you know, have somebody feed me, but I'm not going to work on it myself? What is your purpose? This is the very first question you must ask in order to find fulfillment. You will never find fulfillment in life until you are doing what you were made to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I know why I was born. I was born to be right here. You know what? I got up. You know what time I went to bed last night? 5 o'clock in the morning. You know why I went to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning? Man, I was studying the Bible. Woo! Got me some popcorn. Got me my little drink on the side, a little Gatorade. Started reading that word. Man, I'm like, woo, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Why? Because I'm designed to produce the word. And you know what? I'm fulfilled. Now, the question must be, if you're not fulfilled, are you doing what you were designed to do? Okay, everybody close their eyes. I want you to be very honest. How many of you are completely fulfilled? Raise your hand. How many are not? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. Out of this entire congregation, two people raised their hand that they were fulfilled. Two. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see the problem we have? Is that until we discover who we are, we can never find fulfillment in our lives. Now, I want to show you something. God conceptualizes you before you even hit the planet. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 4. I want to show you how God does this stuff. Watch this. I love what he does here. God comes to Jeremiah, and he says this. The Lord gave me this message. He had insight. Look at verse 5, he had inside information from God. So God has given you inside information, because maybe you didn't know this, but let me show you what he did to Jeremiah. I want everybody to read. Would you read, please? Go. What? Are you kidding me? Look at your neighbor and say, what? You got to say it just like that. What? You mean to tell me God knew you before you even hit your mama's womb? He conceptualized you. He said, I need this in the earth before your mama and daddy even started dating. That means you can't be an accident. It's impossible. Let me tell you something. You're here on purpose. Watch this. I love what he said. Come on, let's read. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Read. Watch this. Before you even knew God, he had a plan for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh. Listen to me. Before you even hit the planet, you had a purpose. God wouldn't even put you in the earth unless there was something he needed you to do. You're not dead. That means your purpose ain't done. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't keep running in the rat race of life and not discover fulfillment. Man, when you are fulfilled and you know who you are and what you were created for, man, the joy that you will feel is amazing. And guys, I need you to get in your mind today, above all other days, that I will not live my life not knowing who I am. Come on, give God a great hand clap. Come on. You got to make up your mind. Enough. Enough. Nobody will know what that means but us. Look at this. Go down to verse 9. He said, I set you as a prophet to the nations. I need somebody to go talk to the nations. Look at verse 9. Man, we're running out of time. My gosh, this is good stuff. Come on. Verse 9, read. You mean he equipped you when you didn't even know it to be able to do what you're supposed to? You think you're smart because you read a book? God made you smart so you could read a book. Come on, somebody. Some of you been through so much pain. You've been abused, talked about, walked over. You go, God, why is it always happening? Because I'm trying to get something out of you. I need you to be caring and loving to those who get overlooked and stepped on. But I need you to go through something for a little while, because when your time comes, your purpose will be fulfilled. I need somebody like you. My mama gave up on me. My dad, do you know there's a whole bunch of people who mama and daddy gave up on them, but they don't know. They need somebody that knows Jesus that can come to them and say, it's going to be all right. Who are you? Who are you? Look what he says. I put my words in your mouth. I've already equipped you. Verse 10. Let's read this. Watch this. Go.
Today I want you to stand up against the nations and
evil. Wow. Come on. Uh-huh.
Others you must build up and
plant. Do you see what he did? He made Jeremiah a prophet in Jeremiah's generation. He was made for his generation. You are made for now. Do you hear me? Colin, you are made for right now. Ed, now. Everybody in this room was designed for now. Now, what are you supposed to be doing? Let's get to it. Let's stop playing games. Let's go after the seek. God, talk to me. Who am I? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What's when my wife and I realized we got, God told me, go to Central Florida. I said, for what? Go to Leesburg. Any city with the last name of Berg, I ain't going. True story. But you know what? God had a plan. He says, you know what? I don't even know this city. I was reading a book my professor gave me, talked about the first civil rights worker ever murdered in America was murdered in Lake County. The worst sheriff in the United States was out of Lake County. When I arrived in Lake County, they kicked me out of a restaurant because I was black. First day. I looked at my wife, I said, baby, don't take nothing out the car. Just leave it in the car. God said to me, I want you to build a multicultural church that reaches the lost, serves its community, and experiences the presence of God. I need you to do this here. They got one in Orlando. They may have one in Ocala, but they sure don't have one here. And God said, I need you now. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you now. Come on, say it like you mean it. I need you now. My goodness. Look, the master manufacturer of all things created it for a purpose, established the purpose so you could succeed. You and I are the products of his creation. Go to this verse, and we're going to head out of here. Watch this. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Wow. Man, I just got through the first part of my message. God, dog it. I guess that was on purpose, too. If I had some more time, boy, y'all. Colossians 1:16. How many want to know their purpose? How many are now, you know, interested? Come on, guys. We can do this. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to answer those questions, and it'll be so clear for you by the end of it, you will run for him. Watch this. Colossians 1:16. I want to show you why you were designed. Watch this. Read together. Go.
But through him, God created everything, and heaven and earth and on earth.
He made
things we can see and things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him.
They were created what?
Through him.
And? You want to know why you hit the planet? Because God created you for him. Your purpose is in Jesus. And the only way you're going to find it ain't through marijuana. And ain't going to be from cocaine or alcohol. You ain't going to be able to find it through Sally, Wally. Yeah, leave Wally alone. I don't know who Wally is, but I just don't like the name Wally. Wally, no. You're not going to be able to find it through your house that looks so nice or the car that drives so fast. You can only discover your purpose in Him. When you ask the question, who am I? You can't say, well, I can figure this out on my own. You can't. I want to stop you today and say, listen, you can find out who you are, but it all starts with the manufacturer. He has something in mind. He created it, and then He produced it. That's you. So the way we discover what God wants in our life is to find Him. So, who are you? We'll close with this last verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I want you to read it with all your heart. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it reads, when it goes on the screen, again, here we go. Read nice and loud. Go.
For we are God's masterpiece.
Say it again.
For we are God's masterpiece.
I have never known an artist to create a masterpiece and didn't take his time at doing it. I've never seen a masterpiece where he didn't put all of his love, energy, and expertise into the work. Come on, somebody. God put all of his godness in creating you. Don't ever live a mundane life. It starts today discovering that you are God's masterpiece. Read on. So you could do the what? You mean God didn't make you so you could suffer your whole life? He's not this angry God want to kick you in your shoe? Shoe, just one. God has good plans for your life. He wants you to perform and find fulfillment in doing what you were designed for. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop here. But like the stop sign, why did he do it? He loves you. He loves you. So I'm going to ask what your next step is. May I give you a couple suggestions? Number one, I want you to begin to think as we move to next week and answer the next question. I want you to begin to center your life around God. I want you to get into the discovery class. Every Sunday at 11 in the back, we'll have a class to help you find your gift assessment, to know who you are. Number two, I want you to connect with some other believers. You know what? You can't do church by yourself. Amen. No, y'all, too much movement. Everybody look at me. Look at me. You, say it with me. You can't do church by yourself. Is every church perfect? No. Yes. Really? No, it's not perfect, but my God, God has you here on purpose. Why would you walk away? Why would you only come every other week? Man, if I knew I could find my destiny, I'd be on the doorstep every day and open. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why you're here. We are here to help you discover your full potential in Jesus and impact the world. I better see you every day this church is open until you start doing what God called you to do. I'm not going to settle for your excuses. I'm going to say, get up and do what God told you to do. I love you too much to leave you alone. I want you to do this. Listen, I want you to cultivate spiritual maturity. I want you to grow. I need you to come to Bible Encounter. You know what? We're going to listen. We're going to learn about how to hear the voice of God. You don't want to miss that. I mean, where do you get that kind of information except in the house of God? I want you to make a contribution with your life. You need to serve somewhere. Two things people need. They need to be needed and noticed. Would you agree? I need to know that you need me. You know, if I'm gone for a couple weeks, did anybody care to call me? Did you call anybody? He who has friends must what?
Show himself friendly.
Absolutely. Thank you. But I'm going to tell you something. Everyone wants to be needed and noticed. And the way that you get needed and noticed is if you put yourself into service. You know, you don't stand on the sideline. So many people waiting for people to come ask. Why? You see a need, do it. You will not be forgotten if you take a space that nobody can fill. You are the only one designed to do it. And until you step in your place, we are always going to be hurting at a church because you want to go home and watch television. Am I fussing? Am I fussing? I don't like to fuss. I'm not a fusser, really. I'm not. And finally, I want you to communicate. I want you to talk to other people about God's love. That roach really got me. Next week, I want you to invite 5 people out, because if you really love them, you'd want them to be here to hear this next message. It could change their life. Would you stand to your feet?